Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, as I said, there are a number of states that Harvard experts are saying need to be closed down. Florida being at the top of the list, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Arizona, Tennessee, Georgia, Nevada, South Carolina, Texas, Idaho, Arkansas, and the state of Oklahoma. And my next guest evidently just flew into D.C. from Oklahoma, quarantined in her little hovel, and is coming to us via Skype. Sarah Burris is a fantastic reporter over at Raw Story, does incredible work, but as of now, quarantined in her abode. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
I just flew into D.C., and boy, are my arms tired.
Of course
they are. That was terrible.
If I had a drum, I'd do the rim shot. So how are things in quarantine?
It's fine. I mean, the interesting thing about D.C. laws is Mayor Bowser said that if you come from one of the top states, as of Monday, then you have to quarantine for 14 days. I got in before that, just barely in the window. And it wasn't intentional at all. It's just that I work on, you know, Sunday to Thursday. So like my travel days are always Friday, Saturday. And so I just barely got in. A lot of my friends are, you know, have health issues and are older. And so I get to see my boyfriend. That's about it. But, I don't have to necessarily quarantine. I just am because it's the right thing to do. So I'm on day, 6. Tomorrow's day 7. I thought at one point, I think on Wednesday, I had COVID because I couldn't stop sneezing. And then I realized I hadn't had my allergy drugs in like a week. So, yeah. But you get scared, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're like, oh my God, do I have the COVID? I have the COVID. I'm going to die. So, you know, but then I took some Zyrtec and I was good. So.
It was just allergies. Now you're thankful for allergies. Look at that. Look at where things have gotten.
I know. It's terrible. It's like, oh, thank you, cedar trees. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, obviously coming from Oklahoma, today is an interesting day with the passing of Herman Cain. And as I said from the beginning, it's sad. It's unfortunate. It was avoidable. You know, the report is he possibly got it while in Oklahoma at the rally that Trump had in Tulsa. Any thoughts?
Yeah. There are a couple of things about Herman Cain is so the governor of Oklahoma who got COVID, it was a month later that he got it. So wherever Herman Cain was, if he was with the governor, they weren't around the same people. I don't necessarily think that Herman Cain got it from being in the rally space. I think if he came in contact with some of Trump's staffers, that's probably more likely. What I also found out too is that Herman Cain also traveled to Arizona right after Trump did that Tulsa rally, which again is a huge hotspot. So it was within that week. It was about 10 days from the day of the Trump rally until he started to get really, really sick. And then it was two or three days later that he was in the hospital in Atlanta. So it's sad because it's like, you know, I'm obviously not a huge fan of Herman Cain, but this is one of those things where it doesn't matter what your political party is. It doesn't matter if you're best friends with the president. You're going to die if you get this. Well, you're not. If you're 74 and you have health issues, you're going to die,
yeah.
Right? So there are I wish that this would be something that would wake him up, that would make him realize, oh, my God, I need to be doing more. I need to be doing better.
No, and it's not. The sad reality is this has been, as I said in the last hour, this has been a political football. And when you look at all of the decisions that they've made all into one giant basket in its entirety, you can only come to the conclusion that the decisions they made were purely political to attack Democrats in Democratic states. And they really did believe that come summertime, it was just going to miraculously disappear.
Yeah, which I don't know if they were just getting really bad advice from health experts. A lot of health experts have said, you know, that they thought that when it warmed up, because it's a respiratory disease, that it would disappear, because those tend to disappear in hot months, right? Obviously, this is not your typical disease. It doesn't just cause a terrible cough. It eats away at your lungs. and it causes heart problems. And like, there are just a whole series of crazy things that it does to your body. And so all of the advice that I feel like the White House has been getting, you know, it's just what people knew at the time. And they don't really listen to when scientists learn new things about it. They listen to, it seems, what is the most convenient for them, what is the most expedient for them.
No, you're absolutely right. And the sad reality is, you know, you have all these people, over 151,000 people who have died. And, you know, Herman Cain being one of them. And you know, I guess the thing that really bothered me today about Cain's passing, and I'm not one of those people going, good on him, he deserved it. It's a sad tragedy. I was surprised at the fact that we can't agree as a country that, you know, this man succumbed to the virus. Immediately, yeah. Everyone, no, he died of cancer. And you go, okay, where'd that come from? He did have colon cancer at one point, but he was in because he had respiratory ailments. I don't get it.
He couldn't breathe. He was having issues breathing. His website they released a statement saying he had COVID.
Yeah.
This is not a surprise. I guess we shouldn't be surprised by the conspiracy theories, because this entire thing has been surrounded by the crazy Q people making up conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Well, let's get to the other two top stories of the day. Obviously, I want to get to John Lewis and Obama's eulogy in a minute, because I want to spend more time on that. But, you know, the trial balloon of let's move the election. I'm curious how you see this playing out. I thought it was just an opportunity to try and suck some of the oxygen out of the room and change the news cycle away from John Lewis and away from Obama's speech, and to really focus it on him. It backfired in enormous ways, but I'm curious your thoughts.
So I didn't think that it was about taking away attention from Lewis. I thought that it was because he heard the numbers about the GDP dropping, like, at historic levels.
Right.
Like, Trump's entire campaign has been about the economy. His economy is great. Everything's doing well. You know, we're going to come roaring back. Obviously, we're already roaring back. Everything's back to normal, right? Like, he makes up all of this stuff about how great the economy is. Well, now we're seeing another huge number of, I think it's historic levels that the GDP dropped for the United States in a 70-year history. I think they've been measuring it for 70 years. And so I think that because this happened so early in the morning, around the time that news was coming out, and then you saw the market like flip. I think I woke up and it was at like down 100 points, and then that news came out and then it went down 500 points, and it was like, oh God, where is my 401k going? And so I feel like it was really more about fighting the economic news, which didn't really, it not only backfired, everybody still reported about the oh my God, the economy is dying. And everybody still covered John Lewis, even if he was trying to distract from that. So he's really bad at this. He's so bad.
But it used to work, and this is the weird thing. I mean, this stuff used to work. It's just that we're in the middle of a global pandemic. We're in the middle of millions of people about ready to be cut off from the lifeline that has been that extra unemployment. We're about ready to see, you know, millions of people potentially evicted from their homes. There's a lot of bad here. So when the president says, "Hey, we're gonna let's think about moving Election Day," I think it takes a little different tone.
Yeah, when the whole neighborhood is on fire, somebody going, oh, look, there's a puppy, is not going to do anything for you.
Let me ask you, did you happen to see Obama's speech?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I needed that. I don't know about you.
I did.
I get down about how terrible things are, and I feel out of control that I can't help. I can't do anything to save anybody. And I get really discouraged about it. And, you know, that's been one of my questions that I've always asked leaders, you know, is what do you do to stay focused on the prize, right? To stay steady on, I'm trying to help, I'm doing the right thing, I'm doing what is best for the country. How do you stay doing that when everything looks so bleak? And Barack Obama's speech, it was remembering an amazing and beautiful man, but it was reminding us how we as people can remember him in a profound way, but really call us back to the movement. And oh my God, it was beautiful. And it made me feel like, all right, we got this. Yes. We have a few more months. We can do this. So I hope a lot of other people felt that same kind of call to service and reminder that, you know, we can still do this. We just have to keep working for a few more months.
Yeah, but here's my problem. And again, we've become such a polarized country that you and I watched it. The other side, at least here in Pennsylvania, you had the Cops for Trump rally that Mike Pence came out to, of a bunch of people who, you know, the mask deniers, you know, even while the megaphones are saying, put on your masks, be safe, they're like, no, screw you and your mask. We're not wearing no stinking masks. It just seems that we're really two really bipolar societies.
That's okay. Screw them. You know, like, it's sort of that strange philosophy of, you know, there are the mask idiots. We're never going to win those votes, right? That's the 35% of Trump voters that are never going to leave him. And there's absolutely no chance of winning those people. The cop vote is my favorite because Trump has been running all of these ads saying that Joe Biden wants to defund the police department. Well, the thing about the cop event today is that it required another like $5,000 to $10,000 of security money, and Trump still, I think we're at about $2 million of unpaid security funds that Trump's campaign hasn't paid to cities
and won't.
So Trump is already defunding the police. $2 million so far that police departments that pay for overtime, that pay for officers, that pay for concrete blocks and you know, fences and all of the things that are necessary for when a president or vice president comes to town. And one of the things that I read was a Wisconsin mayor who just kind of told the Pennsylvania mayor, you know, if you think that you're going to get something out of this, you're not.
Yeah, you're going to get something. You're going to get stuck with the check.
Yeah.
But, you know, here again, this is one of those things where you go, this has been Trump's MO from the beginning. We were talking about this kind of stuff back in 2015.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He hasn't paid bills since 2015 for these things. This is not necessarily the case with official visits, which are taken care of at taxpayer expense. These are only for campaign events, which taxpayers do not pay for. And I don't know how they're getting away with it, but there was a congressman who did file an FEC complaint for unpaid debt, and the FEC just hasn't ruled on it. So I'll be interested to see how that goes.
No, but, you know, going back to what we were talking about a minute ago about, you know, Kushner and his task force, you know, basically just going, nah, screw it, they're Democratic states. Pennsylvania is right now a Democratic state, and it's leaning heavily towards Biden. To come into Western Pennsylvania, a state that, an area that got hit pretty good, and to have this kind of an event where you've got people who are openly defying sanity or logic, is not only, you know, bad for the state, it's bad for the country, I think.
Yeah, it's dangerous, and I think at a time when, I mean, we've got a serious economic problem, right? And this is a city, it's Greenburg, right? Greenburg,
yes.
Pennsylvania. 14,000 people live in the city of Greenburg. Their city budget is $12 million a year. Their emergency fund is only $15,000 a year. And they just blew the whole thing on Donald Trump's rally. So they better hope that nothing bad happens or that the federal government is coming to rescue them. You mentioned Jared Kushner. This is the big thing that we found out about Kushner today, is that his group of staffers who were trying to come up with the, okay, what is our plan for getting out of the coronavirus pandemic? Somebody suggested at one point, and they actually have a White House source on this. Someone suggested, you know what, let's just leave it to the governors because it's all blue states that are that have the virus. So why do we care?
Right.
Let them deal with it. And then when it fails or everybody dies, we can just blame them. Well, guess what? Viruses don't stop at political boundaries. or state borders. It goes on, and so now you have red states all over the country where people are dying en masse. And you know, obviously, whatever crazy sociopathic idea that Kushner's people came up with, it ain't working. Yeah. And now there's no strategy.
No, but there never was a strategy. So, you know, not surprising. But here's the thing, you know, as inept as they've been, then that stuff filters down to the local crazy. And here in Pennsylvania, we've got a state representative who's a complete moron. You know, Rusty, I call him Ding Dong Diamond. He's just the biggest ding dong you're ever going to meet. But he came out with, and you wrote a piece on this, with a statement that evidently he plagiarized from Dr. Levine, you know, trying to be, you know, sarcastic, about how, you know, there's an intolerance towards him and the unmasked community. He was trying to make it a civil rights issue not to wear a mask. And it's one of those moments where I'm reading and I'm going, you know, if this were back in my grandparents' day, my grandfather would have just smacked him. Because that's what someone like this needs. They need a good smack.
Seriously. And so I am new to Mr. Diamond. I didn't know anything about him. And so when I saw, you know, this statement, I was just like, oh my God, what is wrong with you? What rock have you been hiding under for the last 3 or 4 months? And so I thought, you know, like, all right, writing up the story, crazy, you know, Republican doing crazy things, you know, it's like different day, you know, new day, different Republican.
Different ding dong.
But then I found out about Dr. Levine's statement and, you know, putting them right next to each other. It's hardcore plagiarized. Like, this is just sad. And I guess he was trying to, I wasn't sure if it was like a joke or, I mean, it just didn't really, whatever it was, it didn't make sense. And it just made him look like a bigger idiot.
That's not possible.
One of my favorite stories today from the John Lewis thing was that at one point he sent out a press release announcing that he was going to grow a beard because people always confuse him with Elijah Cummings. And that is a good press release that's funny, right? Diamond needs to, like, learn what a joke is before he tries to do something like that because, I mean, it just ends up making you look like, one, an ass. Two, like, you don't have anything better to do.
He doesn't.
Right? Like,
he is and he doesn't.
There are serious issues that are happening in Pennsylvania. There are people dying of COVID. There are cities that are blowing their entire contingency budget on a Pence event. So there are actual issues that need to be dealt with, and this guy has nothing better to do but to try and make masks a civil rights issue.
Diamond's the guy who was out on the steps during the reopen stuff, leading the minions on. He was out there without a mask. He was one of the guys who's been cheerleading all of this insanity because he doesn't believe in government. He's a destroyer. He shouldn't be anywhere near the state house. And the people of Annville and Cleona and that area that elected him ought to be ashamed of themselves for giving the state such a moron to sit in the halls of power.
It's sad, but, you know, I agree with you. There's no reason this guy should be in office. But at the same time, he probably is really helpful at raising Democrats a lot of money. That's the only bright side. You know me, I always trying to find the bright side of everything.
There you go. last thing I've got for you. Evidently, Trump had a very loud phone call that was recorded by someone in the restaurant and given to the New York Times. Because, hey, you know, nobody records Donald Trump speaking.
Oops. So what happened is Donald Trump called Jim Inhofe, the great senator from Oklahoma. Senator Snowball. He called Jim Inhofe when Inhofe was in one of his favorite, a Republican-leaning restaurant, apparently, on Capitol Hill. I live way further uptown, so I don't know about these restaurants. Plus, I'm in quarantine, so everything is being delivered to me right now. Because I think Jim Inhofe is 900 years old, he turned his speakerphone on to better hear it, and then the entire restaurant could hear it. And, of course, when you live on Capitol Hill, there's somebody in the restaurant who is not a member of your party or a reporter, and they're going to record that stuff.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened. And my favorite part of the conversation was Trump complaining to Inhofe, who's the chair of Senate Armed Services, complaining to Inhofe about, you know, that he doesn't want this bill to pass that that changes all of the names of the bases from Confederate generals to actual American heroes. And Inhofe tells him, oh, no, that's never going to happen. Don't worry, I got it. The bill already passed by this point. Like, they passed it, was it like the 25th?
And it was overwhelmingly passed.
Like, how do you, and Trump said that he was going to veto it. So how do you not know? And it passed by like a huge, I'm going to say like 84 votes yep. to 16 or something. So it was an overwhelming majority that is veto proof. So, one, Inhofe lied to him, cause he should have known better. He should have been like, oh, actually, that passed. But you gotta wonder, was Inhofe lying to him to get him off the phone?
Probably.
You know, was he just like,
or he wasn't paying, or like you said, he didn't hear and he just let it go. But it kind of rang of, you know, Gordon Sondland and all of that. But Sarah, I appreciate the time. As always, wonderful stuff. Keep up the great work. I look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you. Be safe.
Our good friend Sarah Burrows. Check out her work over at Raw Story. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.